flexible way and you're rethinking ideas and coming to new conclusions, thinking of ideas of experimenting with or stuff to look up. And I hope that you come back here on a Sunday night at 8 p.m. to tell us what you found. We do this every week, and I can't do it without you people, so please come back next Sunday at 8 p.m. when we'll try and do it all over again. A bit unusual tonight, I'm going to give you a very quick movie plug. I recently saw a movie that got a bunch of Academy Awards, but so I'm not the first person to realize it was a decent movie. It's called Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. It's a very unusual, very weird science fiction, multidimensional comedy, if you will. And one of the solutions to the character's problem would warm Dick K2RIW's heart, the idea of being kind to each other. That's how he ended almost all of these technical men. So if you have a chance, check it out. It's a very different movie. It's not similar to anything I've ever seen before, which is a wonderful thing these days where everything is a copy of everything else. Again, Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. And, of course, we'll want to always mention good old Epictetus, a Roman philosopher. It's impossible for a man to learn what he thinks he already knows. So keep an open mind, and you'll find out all kinds of interesting things. So once again, thanks to everyone. Have a great week. Have a safe week. Be well. And come back next week and join us once again. This is ACTGS, formally closing this particular episode of the Limar Technical Net, and I am clear.
That was a very good movie. Boy, I saw that thing. I'm watching it. It looked like, well, I'm not sure what this is all about. And they got into the Eternal Revenue, and all hell breaks loose. What am I watching? They got to be kidding. I had to find out what happened. I sat through the whole thing. Back to you, Roy.
Yeah, I found it loads of fun. How did you respond when it seemed that the movie ended in the middle of the movie?
After a while, I just wanted to find out how it ended. So I just got through it, but I wanted it to end early. It was a long movie.
Yeah, it was a long movie. But like I said, the word I would use was different. It is not a cookie cutter clone of anything I have ever seen before. But one of the weirdest portions was about two-thirds into the movie. One of the characters is shown watching this movie as a movie, and it fades to black, and it runs credits, and you look at your watch and you say, I don't understand, there should be 45 or an hour more of this. Well, what the heck? And it had a terrible ending, and then all of a sudden it snaps back into the plot device. So it's a very difficult movie to give a very short synopsis of what happens because it's so darn crazy, including the dimension where people have hot dog fingers.
Yeah, we're dealing with raccoons. What is all this about? Anyway, very interesting. And if I was in a movie theater, which I wasn't, I'm watching it at home, but if I was in a movie theater, I probably would have got up and started walking out saying, well, it's over. Roy 2H.
Yes, Lou.
So I'm intrigued. I'm just listening to the background. I'm working on the computer. Give me that movie name. I'm going to have to check it out. It sounds compelling.
It is. It's called Everything, Everywhere, All at Once.
All right, thank you. Let me write it down. Roy 2H.
Okay, I think it won a whole bunch of Academy Awards last month when they ran the Academy Awards. It deserved it. It was a beautiful piece of it was a beautiful movie. It was so insanely written, and yet it kind of worked its way out at the very end. So it's an experience, what can I tell you?
That's great to look forward to. Thank you.
You're welcome. Enjoy it. It's loads of fun. It's like an amusement ride. Anyway, this is ACCGS. Once again, I will be clear.
That was a good way of putting it, Roy. That's about it. An amusement ride. It's a lot of fun, but you say, what am I doing? And then you figure you gotta watch it. You gotta find out how it is. It's bizarre. 73 Roy, WS1.
Tonight at 8:30, this is the W2VL repeater.
InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater.
2HL.
2HL, KD2VHD.
Yeah, good evening, rest of the evening. Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good morning. I didn't expect to call the late hour, tinkering around with some stuff on the bench, and it chimed out of me.
I think I was on yesterday. I think your name is Jim?
Yes, I guess we're the night owls.
Yes, indeed. I'm a night owl. I am a night owl. I have been for many, many moons. Name is Howie, and I'm over. I'm almost at my house. I went out to do a late night milk run. Right?
Sometimes you got to do that.
That's right. It's nice to hear the repeater on at this hour. There's a lot of guys who can't sleep, and sometimes, get on the radio. A lot of guys get up late, can't sleep, and go on the radio, which is a good thing to do. I used to have a repeater and talk to other insomniacs. Where are you located, Jim?
I'm at Bayport on the South Shore.
Okay. Bayport. Is that near Bayshore?
A little further east. Patchogue, Sable area.
Oh, okay. Are you coming through 85?
I don't think so. I'm coming through the Selden repeater. Is that 85?
No, that's, I don't know what frequency that is, actually.
Yeah, it's different than that. Which one are you going through?
Glen Oaks.
Really? I figured Glen Oaks would be shut down. Yeah, that usually closes down in the evening.
Yeah, well, years ago it was on all the time, 24. Maybe they'll, I asked if they could do it. I think I was thinking NY2H, if they could do that. Maybe they did it, or extended the hours. That would be good.
There's been a lot in flux with the repeaters and the connections and whatnot. NY2H is doing a lot of work on that. At some point, there was a reason why they had it shut down. I don't know if that's less or more of a problem now. But it's interesting to hear that it's on, because I've had a few QSOs cut short speaking to people on the Glen Oaks repeater, and they were cut off at late hours.
Yeah. The other frequency, Selden, I don't know what the frequency is. Let me see if I can recall. I think it's 147.375, I believe, isn't it?
Yeah, that could be it. That sounds more familiar.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm at my destination over here. The home CTH is Rockaway Beach. I'm sure, do you know where that is?
Well, I know Rockaway, like Far Rockaway, and I know the other place with the gate, which is called, the other name, I forget the name of it, but Rockaway Beach is going to be probably three quarters of the way towards, what's it called, the enclave there in the west.
Yeah, as well as, it's all the way on the west there is towards the point. That's the right. The co-pilot there, Athena. Are you talking about Breezy Point?
Yeah, that was the phrase I was looking for, Breezy Point. You're probably three quarters of the way to from Far Rockaway, correct?
Yeah, I'm at the other end, Rockaway Park. Far Rockaway is about 6 miles. I'm very close to Breezy Point. And just about 2 miles from Breezy Point. Anyway, I'm going to wish you a good morning. Thanks for coming back. Nice little see so. And hopefully, yeah, I do, I'm on late at night, and maybe can catch a see so late at night again. So 73 for now, Jim, and have a great morning, W2HR.
73W2HO, this is WRK. No, no, I'm giving my wrong call. KD2VHD, who will be clear? Good speaking to you. And interesting that the that repeater is still on site. He's at home. KD2VHD, clear.
Okay, Jim. Your call is VHT or VHD? Victor Hotel Delta or Tango?
Delta.
Okay, QSL, I got it. Have a good night.
D2LOR, listening. K2LOR, monitoring.
K2LOR, KD2VHD, I do copy you.
Thank you very much for getting back. What was your call sign again? I was just on late on 40 meters and I turned on 2 meters. What was your call again?
Kilo Delta 2, Victor Hotel Delta.
Thanks very much. Yeah, I just wanted to put you through a dead. I just wanted to... Well, maybe not, whatever, you know. I'm so used to logging things. I'm a new ham about a year now. I was just on 7 megahertz on 40 meters. There was nothing else going on there but a net, so I tried the net. The net was in North Carolina. They could barely hear me, but I gave it a try, and I turned up the input on my amp. I'm not supposed to put any more than, like, 10 or 12 watts in that amp. So I did about 10 watts, and they finally heard me, and I had a little bit of a QSL.
Very cool, very cool. Good to get out there.
Definitely. I made a, I put a radio in my car. I made a mobile out of mostly. Right now I'm at home, though, but I can't really talk too much during the day. I don't want to disturb anybody or anything, so I have the mobile set up pretty good. I 10 meters was really nice today. I don't know if you were able to take advantage of that.
No, I didn't get to do much radio today. I was doing some hardware stuff. And tinkering around in the shop this evening, and I turned the radio on, and it was interesting to hear some stuff coming out of, I guess you're coming through Glen Oaks also. That's usually off this time of night. So maybe we got a change going on.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember talking on, when I first got my license, I was talking on Glen Oaks. And when 12 o'clock came, everyone had to get out. Yeah. But they must have changed it. Because I'm in Flushing, Queens, and I'm only using a HT with 8 watts. So, yeah, that's got to be the only game in town right now.
I'm sure it's subject to a revision based on, you know, if any trouble happens. I imagine they had good reason for shutting it off when they did.
Yeah, on a lot of, like, GMRS, when I've been on GMRS, and maybe some ham repeaters, there's usually some people that kind of want to block people. Sometimes they make it hard. You have these folks out there. It's really, a lot of people, they should ignore them. I used to think ignoring wouldn't work, but sometimes it works. You know, if they're not getting any satisfaction, then they usually let up. I don't know if that's what caused that, but it probably has nothing to do with it. I'm just I guess I'm just speculating, you know. I don't know, any of the reason. I just speculate about that. But yes, I'm glad you picked up the my call. I appreciate that.
Happy to chat. Like I said, I'm taking her right on the bench here and the balance and wires and connectors and switches, and the radio chimed in and I had to answer.
Cool. I was lucky to get in the house because I'm new. I with an apartment and everything. I bought one of those MSJ loops, and I forgot what model number it is, but it's like an aluminum box. And that gets me on 10 to 20 meters. And then I wanted to go beyond 20 meters, so I got a wire from Home Depot, 14 gauge wire, and I measured it for a half wave, 40 meter dipole. And I just strung it from my cabinet to my curtain rod in my apartment and back the other way, kind of like a V, and it sometimes gets me out at night, and I was so happy, you know, to be able to go beyond the loop, you know. Oh, I need someone. I read somewhere that a one-to-one Balin might help with SWR. I don't know how true it is, but I bought one, and I think it works.
I'm working through that same situation now on a bigger scale. I'm trying to finagle together a 160 meter antenna, which is quite a challenge. And the balance are less about SWR than about getting your SWR is something that tells you if your radio is happy. But just because your radio is happy doesn't mean your signal's getting out. Well, there's some other things involved. But it sounds like you're on the right. I'm not much more than a year into this myself, and I don't have anybody's thing logged in. I got a couple of scraps of paper with some informal logs, but I don't find it that the word. I'm not a clerk. I'm a people.
Yeah, I know what you mean, because when I'm in my car, I usually drive to a park and I put on 10 meters or 12 meters, or, you know, or I might try to get onto some other band, but mostly it's 10 or 12 on there, and if I have to get on the website and try to log on call after call, you know, and to try to keep the log going while I'm talking or trying to talk, it's kind of a pain in the behind because I have to write it down to, you know, to get the call first, you know, to get it over the air. And then once I get the call, I'm trying to enter it into the log online because I didn't take the time down, so I figure I'll do it right then. And then you get caught up on that. Maybe you make a mistake and you put in the wrong info. You try to fix it. And meantime, in the meantime, you're missing.
I have a possible analysis of that situation. I find myself on AM, TMRS, radio, etc. to get away from the web. Anything that connects the radio to the web, I just disregard it. I ain't doing it. No interest.
I get that because I may do the contacts online, but I get what you're saying because you know what I use the ham radio kind of a way to get away from the media in general. Like I used to drive in my car and WABC radio would be on, then a commercial would come on about an old folks home, and that would pull at me, you know, because of my parents, you know, I had them in my mind. And then some news would come on, something I would disagree with, a statement would be made, and then I would disagree with that. And it seemed like every time I'd listen to media, I'd feel like I was being pulled in one direction or the other. And when I watch TV, the same thing. So I cut that stuff down to a minimum.
listening to ham radio in the car and CB in the car, and at home the same thing. And if a friend comes over and wants to watch a movie, I'll do that. But all other media, I find, takes me in directions I don't want to go.
Can I suggest that I might understand what you're talking about and you object to the one-way pipe shoved in your face? You'd much rather a two-way pipe where you can input something into the system. Are we talking the same language?
I don't think I could have said it better myself, absolutely. Because, let's face it, when you're at work, you have your boss. That's pretty much a one-way thing, you know what I mean? You might have your suggestions, but mostly it's one-way. So in your free time, the last, at least you could be able to put your input in. But so many people, intelligent friends of mine, are coming back to me with stuff they heard on the news, and we all know after this 3 years of, I don't want to get, you know, but you know what I mean, after this 3 years of being told what to do and how to do it and what to do with our bodies, I've had enough, and I just feel like at least being able to give my input.
Agreed. Beware, that's not welcome here either, so it has to be kept on the down low, which is a different issue, but at least you have a chance to sneak it in there where you can. Yeah, communication is a two-way deal, and if it's not, it's something other than communication. There's another word, I don't know what it is, but it ain't communication.
Yeah, I believe we both made a similar point to each other, and we agree on that. So, like you said, if it's not exactly like the old saying about bars and policies and all that stuff. Yep, but we already know, we already understand each other, so I guess, you know, that's good enough. But that's what I like about the hobby, in other words. Sometimes I wonder, because people will tell me, oh, you can talk to people in email around the world. Well, they don't understand, you know. There's a friend of mine, this girl that I used to go out with, right? And I started telling her about it. And, you know, anytime you're passionate about something and you talk to somebody, and they could get your passion, that kind of makes it interesting for them. So it seems like she may...
You cut it out and she made it something.
Oh, yeah, it just became a nice, you know, the whole subject of ham radio actually became a good object of subject of the conversation, you know. It seems like people, when you have a passion about something, whether they're into it or not, they like to hear about what you're into, as long as you're honest about it, passionate about it.
Funny, there's a bit of a learning curve, though, to this. I don't like to use the word hobby, but we'll throw it out there for the moment. And when we start out, we are truly in the dark. We're probing around with the blind man's stick. And it's not very impressive to potential mates and wives and stuff like that. So we look like fools, because we are. But as we gain our confidence to figure out how this stuff works, that changes a little bit. But then remember that we were quads and fools and silly. And I don't know. It's a very interesting social circumstance that happens with this. And I'm growing more unhappy with the phrase hobby. It is, there's no doubt, but it's... And driving is a hobby too, but it also gets you to work and it gets you to get the milk for your coffee and the other thing, you know, that is a function to it that comes with it. But it's also a hobby. So if somebody was to relegate driving to me, that's just a hobby. And it really has no interaction with your liberty or your life or your means of prosperity or just a hobby. I don't know. I think it's a little different. And then they throw around that word privilege. You know, it's a privilege. Driving is a privilege. I bought the road. I paid for the road. I, more than you and 27 of your friends, privilege by butt. So, I don't know. Somewhere in the midst of all that, there's a reality that it's probably not the way I'm talking about it, but it's not the way I'm being told either.
You know what, the word hobby, I'm going to try not to forget the couple of points I want to make, because if I make one point, I forget the other, but right now I'm trying to hold it together. With my forgetfulness, definitely a hobby, as the word hobby has become like a novelty, a game, like a silly game to play, like it's playing Twister or something, but we all know about those, like, races and those organizations for safety and emergency and safety and all that stuff. And then also, when you said privilege, I didn't want to forget that. I almost forgot. My dad would say, driving is a privilege, you know, when I was 16, to make me take it seriously and for safety. But the truth is, it's a right to be able to travel over state lines, go where you want to go. You know, what's going on now, resulting in the 3 years we've been through, seems like people, see, we've been around, I don't know, maybe you're my age, I'm 53. We've been around long enough where we remember a time where we had, where we were constantly told, by my parents anyway, they would say to me, that you have the right to stay with, you know, like, thing. You have a right that, just basic stuff. That's basic to us. But to the newer generation, it's not so basic. It's becoming lost.
Philosophical. I can go there. Quite adeptly. In the field of politics and government, rights pretty much boil down to you have the right to be left alone. And the other perspective says, no, I have the right to your junk. You have too much junk. And I disagree.
I agree with you there. I feel like it's getting lost on in a generational gap, you know. Almost the way music, certain old songs, like everyone in our generation knows that Johnny B. Goode is this is just an analogy or just getting off the point. Like, Johnny B. Goode is an old Chuck Berry song. But if you talk to one of these kids, because of the generation gap, they won't know what it is. And if you go back to maybe the millennials, they'll think that that Johnny B. Goode was from Back to the Future. In other words, the origin is forgotten about, you know. And to me, when I was a kid, I was told stuff like, cooler heads prevail, you know, sticks and stones don't hurt, sticks and stones don't hurt me, but names don't, you know, calling me names doesn't hurt, but sticks and stones don't.
That's what I grew up on, sayings like that. And but now, sticks and stones have nothing to do with it. If someone says something that's enough to hurt someone's feelings, it cannot be said. So, and you know, I don't want to go too deep, much deep into this because we're on the air, but it seems like all that basic stuff that I learned and you learned, it was the backbone of our belief, which kind of had a lot to do with liberty and being left alone, like you said. But that seems to be forgotten, you know. And I think we were fortunate to have been taught those things.
We lived through a time of unheard of ease and lack of strife. Like, I don't think it's ever been existed on the planet ever. And we got lazy. Some of us got lazy anyway. My kids can mouth an argument when they get accosted by an agent of the state telling them about equity. And they tell them it's in their constitution. And they can go, wait a minute, that's not in the constitution. They read up a passage in there, some of the Declaration of Independence. And they go, yeah, that's not the Constitution. And they can correct these nitwits in charge. Because the real deal is, which is not perfect. Our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, our Declaration of Independence, they're not perfect. They're pretty good, but they're not perfect. But you gotta teach to the next bunch. And the school is not effective at that.
Yeah, not effective at all. And in fact, it seems like they're going in the opposite direction. It seems like it's going in the opposite direction. But there's a lot of smart kids out there that I mean, my friend's nephew, you know, he was telling me that he seems to, you know, to want to, that he's a little tired of the whole, you know, what's going on now, you know, forgetting about civil liberty and everything. Really, what it is, you know, because we learned during this 3 years that, let's face it, they forced something on a lot of people, threatening them, using coercion, you know, bribes. See, when I hear about, when someone bribes me, I usually say, hey, what's their true intention? You know what I mean? But during this, and you know what I mean, so many people that I thought were smart, and they probably are smart, but something keeps them from getting back to the basics of just being left alone.
Yeah, what is smart? That's a question. And there's some called normalcy bias. You know, when you get used to things being a certain way, and you think that when you wake up tomorrow, there's some rule or law of nature or God or country that it means tomorrow is exactly the same as today. No. That's just because it just happens to be that way. But there's no rule that says tomorrow is like today. And people rely on that. And, I think that's a good description of normalcy bias. And they, well, that could never happen here. Well, why not? There's no reason why it couldn't happen here. Just because it didn't happen yesterday doesn't mean it could happen tomorrow.
Oh, I was one of those people that said it couldn't happen here. My friend said to me, when we had this, you know, the current guy now, before he got elected, my friend, he wasn't really into politics, but he got interested real quick when things kind of get a little bit interesting, you know. And he said to me, this guy may be elected, and I was like, it never happened. Well, we know he was either elected or whatever you want to call it. And it definitely did happen, and I didn't think it could happen. So I definitely got a wake-up call. I was one of those people that you were talking about.
Well, keep paying attention, because there's lots coming down the pipeline for people that got hit upside the head. I didn't get hit upside the head. I was aware, but a lot of people aren't, and they're just trying to do their business and get along and raise your family and just do your job and pay for your car and pay for the gas to get to work, to get back to home, to go back to work. The human condition is the human condition, and more it's looking like it's been enhanced to be in somebody else's favor than yours. By bigger fish than us. But the game is afoot.
I don't doubt that other things coming down the line, because I have a friend who is he's an ex-fireman. He retired and he went through. He went through things. You know, he lived a tough time and was a fireman during a tough time. And he saw things people. Most people didn't see, and I had the advantage of learning from his unique point of view, his dad was a cop and stuff, so he had that point of view, and he's kind of more like you, where he saw it coming, and I did. I was like, oh, never, you think this clown is going to get far? We all know they. We all know that he's in there now because of things that are beyond our control.
I happen to come down the same road as your friend, so I know what you're talking about. There's a reality that we experience in that role that most of the rest of the people try to find the right word for it. They don't experience, but they're disallowed from experiencing the what's the word I'm talking about? When you see somebody that's been physically deconstructed into pieces from trauma, cars, bomb, fire, whatever, it ain't an easy thing, but you gain a perspective on things that when that stuff is removed from your ability to factor into your life equation, you're retarded. You've literally been retarded on purpose. Nobody's ever said that to you before, I'm sure, but there it is.
Oh, you're right, because when I, my dad was pretty, he was a motorman for the Transit Authority, so he wasn't a cop, but he started the motorman, the city job, as a motorman at the Transit, MTA. And probably around 1970, and it stayed there until 1990. Yeah, he stayed there until 1993, and he saw crime. He saw people jumping in front of the train. They didn't jump in front of his, though, but he saw other co-workers having to deal with suicide, and he found dead men, a couple dead folks on the track. Not run over, not people got run over in his case. They just found people that wandered down there, homeless people. So he saw some reality too. And so I got the benefit, at least, even though I was sheltered. And when you're sheltered, you become, like you say, charted. You just don't know. Have a seat. You're busy worrying about clothes, your stupid things, games, you know what I mean? But when you party or whatever, but when you see reality, or you hear about it from people who... friends that I'm telling you about who work with firemen. I take what they say, you know, seriously. And, you know, they knew that things were going on. The people who are sheltered, that's why all this what's going on now is able to be bought by so many people because they are, you know, in quote, sheltered from real life. That's why they buy it. They buy all this nonsense. They buy everything that's sold to them. Like the big thing that was sold to them during these 3 years and forced on them and bribed and coerced on them. It all has to, you know, and that's where there's a reason why me and you and there's a reason why me and you and other folks didn't buy all this crap.
Agreed on that. Yeah, some things are pretty obvious. Even if you don't know exactly what the deal is, you know, that sounds like BS. I'm going to stay far away from that.
Yeah, and then you realize, yeah, there's a difference. Like you said, what is smart? You know, you just don't. I was surprised a lot of people. And I look at it like this. If you don't defend your own body, how are you going to defend anyone else or your property? Some people will say, oh, that's my property, I'll defend it. Oh, really? Well, during these 3 years, on a couple of occasions, you didn't defend your body. You kind of let something be imposed upon it. You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah, I guess we can go on a long time about it. I'm killing the battery in this HT. It seems like it's even getting hot. But I appreciate the conversation. QSO.
Me also. We're on the fringe here. If this was the daylight hours, they'd have shut us down already and said you can't talk about that. I get some of that thing, but. I, for one, believe that the backup communication system needs to be fine-tuned and functioning in this day and age.
I'll tell you one thing. I've been listening on in my car on this and other repeaters, and I would hear people similar to us in this respect being told, hey, hang on there, that isn't good. And then by those same folks that said earlier to other people like us, you can't say that, it's against the FCC rules. Well, those same folks have said and brought up on the other side things that by the same rules shouldn't be said, but they're okay to say it because they're on the other side. I've seen that.
It's omnipresent. It's rampant. It's complete and total. It's real. It's what we're dealing with.
Yeah, there's a double standard there right here on some of the things that I've heard in my car. I'm just listening most of the time while I'm driving because I'm too busy driving, you know. And I hear, oh, you guys know. And then the folks who are controlling the conversation, you know, because you have to have someone organizing these talks and stuff. And those guys, they can drop the little things about their side, and no one tells them, no, you can't say that.
I will throw you a useful tool that is worth put in your pocket. Sometimes the stuff that we throw out sounds fantastical and crazy. And if you say, this is the way it is, it's easy for you to put it into a fantastical and crazy box. although the last 3 years, like I said, have proven pretty much all of the fantastical crazy things have been true. That being said, who's better to ask a question? You know, have you considered that, you know, maybe Tinkerbell was a boy and not a girl? Or what, just have you considered that maybe this the moon is sherbet and not ice cream? You just throw a question and not necessarily make a statement of complete fact. Because people need to figure it out on their own. If you give them an idea to dwell on and go with, that's a good thing. Am I making any sense?
You're making plenty of sense, and you reminded me of something my friend said. See, I have a little thing going on because of the whole 3 year thing with my job, right? I work for a big agency, and because of the 3 year and what's been the main subject of the 3 years, the job has not been the same anymore for me. So, you know, in the way that what happens with jobs sometimes when there's disagreements. So he said to me, when you call them up, ask them questions. Put them on the defense. You know, when I call up certain people who are supposed to assist me with this problem.
Well, I found myself on the unlucky thing, but I will say that I retired before this whole mess. So I've been able to talk about things that people who have their jobs and their income on the line do not have the leverage to do. And I will always respect the people whose livelihoods, whose income, whose bread, whose nourishment for the evening was affected by what they stood for. My stand has been easy by comparison, and I will always respect the ones that, that took that stand in the face of far more adversity than me. It sounds like you're one of them, and I'll keep you in that category.
I appreciate the sentiment and the obvious respect that you sent to me, and I appreciate it. Well, I have respect for the fact that you stuck with your, you stuck all the way through and did your time and that your, I guess the agency that you were with, and that's definitely not easy either. You know, a good 20 or so years getting up and dealing with things that most people wouldn't want to deal with. It's definitely respectable. Most people won't ever have to even come close to that kind of stuff. But I had to deal with that. And but what you said is very similar to what my friend said. Ask the questions. Put them on the defense. Because when you ask a question, it's kind of a kind of like a power.
It's a little bit of a throwback, you know. You got all the answers. What about the answer to this very simple question? It's a simple question. You don't have an answer to that, but you got the answer to, you know, the universe. I think you're full of crap.
I guess you can use an analogy like, my dad used to be into boxing and stuff, and he would be like, show me how the guys counter in face of the good fighter will make you do something. They'll make you throw those punches. They'll make you overextend yourself. And then they, once you overextend yourself, now the guy that you're overextending yourself in front of has an easier way of scoring on you or whatever it is, and that's the analogy I come up with now because, yeah, but my dad was always a big boxing fan.
I do hope and pray that that's what we're dealing with at the moment. I have reason to believe that it actually is what we're dealing with at the moment. That gives me great hope.
Yeah, hopefully, I don't know, it just seems so, well, I remember there was a guy, there's a politician on, that a lot of people don't like, they ban things about the guy, but the guy in the 80s, the big guy in the 80s that was a politician, the big one, you know, he said you probably know, you could figure it out, you're smart enough to believe me, I know, I'm kind of spelling it out, in the 80s, the head honcho politician, he said that, in so many words, he said that, liberty and freedom takes work. It doesn't pass on generation to generation by genes. You have to work on it. You have to work on it every day to keep it. Otherwise, it just slips away.
A very important thing. Like I was saying earlier, we've lived through a period of ridiculously luxurious ease. People think that's the way the world is, but that's not the way the world is.
Oh, yeah, when people, look, I'm not going to lie, it's not like I don't have a cell phone and I don't look at YouTube and everything, but people with their nose in their cell phones and ordering things online and getting it in the next day, life's too easy. You want, even with us, like if I want a radio or antenna or whatever I need, a battery box, anything I want for my car to put the radio in there, I can order it online. And then it comes, and I get it. And everything's beautifully easy with this internet. We keep our nose in those phones, and a lot of people have just, they don't even leave the house, they work at home, and they don't really know that everything's just being pulled right out from under them, and they feel like they're living their lives to the fullest when all they do is have their nose in their phone.
That's even getting into the fringes of like the tinsel on the Christmas tree. Most of us are swamped like myself, and you can drink Starbucks all morning and IPA all night and completely miss the whole point that if you don't drink water for 3 days, you die. You're dead. Done. You can't survive 3 days without water. And the average person, they don't even know that, let alone recognize the hazard that they're in. And yeah, we're all connected to a pipe that somebody else controls and can shut off. And they want to connect our cars to a different pipe that they can shut off. And our stoves to the same pipe that they can shut off. 3 days without water and you're dead. Period.
Yep, and That's a good look at it, because here they are, you're enjoying the drink, you get that nice Starbucks whipped cream or whatever it is, and then you get that Indian pale ale, gives you that nice buzz, and you just feel, you have a couple of those, you feel like you're meditating, you're relaxed, the pain in your back is gone from working like a slave or whatever you're doing, and everything's beautiful. And you get into that so deeply, you forget the basics.